We're going to ask Ray here the same question, but I have a feeling I know where he's going to want to start because I'm sure he's seen the video. He's been hyped up all day about the 200 meter. And joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. I'm assuming you saw it. I hope you saw the video.
Yes.
There was shock. There's shock around the world. 20 minutes ago, the world stopped. They could not believe what they saw. Your reaction?
I owe Big Al's brother and Big O an apology.
Yes, wow. You do.
I tweeted out they're going to have to time that with a calendar. And I think, you would have gone faster if you didn't take the first five strides in the same place.
Right.
I didn't have a great start, I'll admit that.
But the consistency, man, that was solid. I thought Al's brother was in trouble when that guy walking on the outside was on the same pace. I'm like,
yeah, that was concerning.
He's going to come to a standstill here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There were a couple of trap doors there for Al's brother, and I was getting nervous. But
yeah.
I thought 60 seconds. That's what I had. I'm like, they got to be able to do it in under a minute.
Like
you can walk a lap in 2 minutes. So I'm like, you got to be. I think they can't. And then, but the times. I didn't see it, man. I didn't see it. Spectacular.
Is it weird that Al's brother is trending in Canada right now?
Dude,
people are going to press on this.
What's the aftermath? Like, anybody pull a hamstring, you know, rip up a calf, something like that?
Not that I'm aware of. Like, what my understanding is, and I'm in my house, so I wish I could have seen it in person, that it was quickly kind of got your stuff back together, you got back on the right breathing pattern, and then you started talking about ordering food into the studio. Is that basically the way things played out?
I had a break because what I had to do was I had to finish my race. Al's brother had to time me with his phone to get the number. So when I was done, I had a small amount of time to walk across the field and get ready to time Al's brother. So in professional athlete fashion, I got over there, got my breathing down to a normal rate, and I timed Al's brother.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's it. Athleticism.
I think, you know what, we're always looking for, like, what could the edge be for a team going into the playoffs? You want to show if the Leafs need inspiration, they got to show this in the locker room right before. This is an alumni of the Leafs.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And his former coach is on the Winnipeg side of things. So I think this could be a double shot. You could have a Carolina Hurricanes type scenario in Winnipeg's room and a Leaf alumni in the Maple Leaf room. And although that would mean that Paul Maurice has to kind of walk back his this will be a charity event type game tonight comment from earlier today. I don't know if you saw it, right? We haven't played it yet. Why don't we play it? Because I do think you have to coach in the league for a long time to be able to say what Paul Maurice said earlier today. It's the elephant in the room. Both teams know who they're playing next, where they're going. This is a formality in many ways.
I've never heard it, though, Hazy.
I've never heard a guy say this publicly, a head coach, you know, an employee of the National Hockey League. This is what Maurice had to say about the game earlier today.
There's almost a... This is going to sound terrible for hockey, but a gentleman's agreement, right? I don't think you're going to see any late hits, right? Both teams are getting ready to go on. There'll be a certain amount of respect on the ice.
What do you make of that, Ray?
He's right. There will be, but I've not heard it like that before. You know, we played an exhibition game in Boise, Idaho. And they had just played the ice, and we were playing San Jose. I was with L.A. And so before the game, Rob Blake was our captain, and Blakey went over and talked to Tony Granato, who was with the Kings, but was now with San Jose and was one of their captains. And like, hey, look, the ice is terrible out there. They just put it in. Let's just get through the game. And so there was like this agreement, right? Blakey came back and told us, first shift, some knucklehead ran over somebody on the other team.
That's right.
It was a train wreck.
Yeah.
We're like, what the hell are we doing here? We just want to get to tomorrow. And so it doesn't take much for it to turn something different than what you intend. But I'm thinking, I got to do the game, and it means nothing. And so I'm sitting here doing my prep, and I'm like, the hell are you, you know, like, there's nothing to really dig into in the game, which is just to talk about the Leafs series and the Jets series, which, of course, isn't against each other. And these guys, they're less involved than I am.
Right.
Like they just want to get to tomorrow. I mean, Sheldon Keefe said it. Paul Maurice was talking about it. They just want to get there, be healthy, put this thing in the rearview mirror, and then focus in on Wednesday and Thursday.
You're bang on, Ray. But something that you said triggered something for me. You said, like, everyone's on the same page, and then some knucklehead, and you know, there's always one dope in the group on either team. Yep. That is going to play his hardest and do what he can, and that, and believe me, you know, it, that's just the competitive nature. And if there's a bad hit or something stupid, that's where it goes sideways, because you're like, hold on a second here. We're both just trying to get to the end. Both teams are, but that's, we've seen it a million times where we're all predicting it. We're all saying, "Ah, this is going to be a nice gentleman's, you know, no hitter and
one thing,
and nothing to see here." And then it's going to be one stupid, like, accidental on purpose, bump the goalie, bump this, you know, a late push or something, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. A
couple nights ago, it kind of, Foligno and Tkachuk were kind of going at it. And I'm like, "Here we go!" Like,
Brady Tkachuk. I kept thinking to myself, "What is Nick doing?
What's he doing?" What's he doing? He couldn't, because I didn't think Tkachuk really did anything. I guess he was kind of close to Anderson, and Foligno comes in and pops him. And
it might have been a little bit of pushback because Brady had a little bit of an interaction with Marner by the bench. So I wonder if Nick was trying to, you know, push back there. But I kept thinking to myself, Brady's a large man, and Nick's a tough guy too. But you're a week away from the playoffs. What if Brady and him drop the gloves and Brady pops him on the nose or on the chin or something?
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can guarantee somewhere, if we had the game totally mic'd tonight, somewhere along the line, more than once, somebody will say to another guy on the other team, "What the F are you doing?"
Right.
Or, "What are you thinking?" Like, somebody will do something that'll rub you the wrong way, because, like, I just know if I were playing tonight, if I don't run into anybody and nobody runs into me, that's about a perfect night. There's no bonuses to be had. There's no playoff positioning to be had. Nothing. I just want to get, honestly, to 10:30 at night and go, "Yep, I feel great, and I can't wait to start the playoffs."
Yeah.
I don't want to come out of this with anything.
Yep, that's exactly it. Yeah. And then once you turn the page, then you can officially embrace the playoffs, because that's another thing that Maurice basically did, which is almost breaking the code in a way. Like, one game at a time, and we're not thinking about the Habs. We're not thinking about the Oilers. Of course you are. You're already pre-scouting for those teams. You don't care about the game tonight, for the most part, in terms of the actual result. But it leads us back into what we were talking about earlier, Ray. Prior to having you on, Chris Letang was addressing the media today and accepted that, you know, you got to try to get one more for Sid and Gino, which makes me feel old. And you realize time flies when it's like, hey, you got to get one for the old guys, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. But he was essentially saying, like, we're desperate in here. There's some desperation, and we acknowledge that these guys are getting older, and with every passing year, it becomes that much more difficult to get them back into the winner's circle. And we ran around the table in terms of ranking, you know, which team should be the most desperate. And teams like the Leafs, teams like Vegas because of their cap situation, Pittsburgh, Washington because of the vets on their team.
Boston.
Boston came up. Yeah. Florida, all reference, because they have no history of success, like nothing. Where do you stand on there? Is there a team in particular that you would point to first and foremost where you would think they would understand there's got to be some desperation here? We got to try to win this cup.
I kind of feel like Boston thinking that way. You know, they've turned over their defense quite a bit, but, you know, their best guys, like their top two centers, are not getting any younger in Bergeron and Krejci. I mean, they're terrific players still, but they're not getting any younger. When the center ice position flips over, a team flips over. Like that doesn't, you know, I mean, you don't just replace those guys. Washington, eventually that Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Ovechkin group is going to be old. It's everybody. I mean, Ovi plays these, like, in, you know, Russian machine. But like the other guys are gonna slow down, and it's gonna happen fast. I look at the older guys, like the Leafs, the older guys with the Leafs. I think those guys will get cycled through. Like, that's the value of these one-year contracts, is they got all their money tied up in their big boys. Those are the guys that are going to have to make the difference. And if they decide to move on from a couple of their veterans at the end of the year, then they'll sign a couple other veterans, and they'll be on one-year deals. So I think that part's just, that's going to be the transient way of building your team now.
Yeah, that kind of turnover along the edges, and it's just a matter of who they are. And the reason why, you know, Toronto, there's a number of different ways to express it. I did earlier this hour. I think their path, I think Boston and Tampa have been the boogeymen, you know, so to speak, and they're not in front of you here for the first two rounds. So that should make you feel, okay, I got a chance here to do something. And I think they've established themselves as clearly the best team of the four. And then on top of it, you look at the guys on the edges, specifically Thornton, and I guess you'd add Spezza to that. But Jumbo's a bigger-than-life, first-ballot Hall of Famer, and he doesn't have it. You know, Chara's got his ring. Ovi's got it now. Sid's got one. Gino's got one. Joe Thornton doesn't. Like, he doesn't have one. So I would think that that's probably kind of making the rounds, you know, and probably worth a little bit more in terms of the push and understanding what's at stake here.
I would think so. I can't imagine guys don't understand how hard it is to win, but when you're younger, you always think there's more years. And when you get Joe Thornton's age, or 5 years ago, you know that there's not that many years left. You don't get year after year after year. I wish there were times that, you know, when I was younger, I could have understood that. Not that I would have tried harder, but it just felt different as you got older. I don't know if you guys agree, but like you realize, like, man, this, I think I would have enjoyed it more. I think I would have taken in more instead of just, yeah, this is what I do. And yeah, we're in the playoffs and like we should be there. Then after a while, you realize how hard it is to get there and to do something. Younger guys don't generally have that until they get kicked in the ass a few times. And maybe that's one of the benefits that the Leafs have now, is they've been booted like that a couple of times.
Ray, we were talking all season, or the second half of the season, about this power play. And I think it's officially time where, I mean, not panic time, but what the hell do you do with that? Is it time to start hurting somebody's feelings, or just kind of being honest with someone you're not going out there? Or because it's tough.
Well, I think this balanced power play stuff and all that stuff, forget it. Like, you just got to get your five best guys out there, the guys you think can work best together. Oh, look at how they scored last game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just a, like, boring, old-fashioned, somebody standing in front of the goalie, you win a puck battle, it's one pass, it's a shot. Like, I think they get into the movement thing and they're looking, you know, everybody knows the pass that they want. So maybe there's another way to get the shot you want where the puck gets delivered to Matthews a different way. Like, maybe it doesn't have to come through Marner all the time, because it's 9 for whatever. It's like nothing for, you know, forever when they score.
Right.
So I'm with you. It's changing personnel, or, you know, or not changing personnel, or adjusting personnel. It's adjusting a thought. It's, you're not going to get many power plays. Maybe two power plays is going to be all you get. You got to get the puck to the net. They've lost that. They've lost that aggressive mentality to it. It's gone for them. I don't know. Can they get it back, or do they just? I think it's probably pretty interesting that their special teams, both power play and penalty kill, are not very good, really, statistically. Yet, 5-on-5 play, they are way better. And more of the playoffs are played at 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So maybe this team is better set up for playoff hockey than we might think.
You know what it's like, Ray. 5-on-5, the opportunities absolutely disappear 5-on-5 in the playoffs. And if you do have that one or two chance power play, you got to make hay on it. And if it's not doing it, it's tough.
Well, I mean, they can't reinvent the personnel. This is who they got. They don't have that big bomber from the point. I think look at Winnipeg's power play. They're two, since the beginning of April, I think I wrote down, they're 2 for 29. Right? They've got some good people on the power play. What they don't have is they don't have a big shot from the point. And so people start squeezing off tighter to Scheifele, and they look for that pass from, over to Connor, and they take away the best option. But you don't have that simple straight-ahead shot, and that's what made Muzzin's shot noteworthy to me the other day. Not that Muzzin should be out with the first group, but the puck went back. He didn't even think of anything else. It was coming to him, and he was shooting it. And maybe that's all they're going to get in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, and special teams obviously are going to play such a massive role. I think a big part of it, too, is they've got to stop giving up goals when they're on the power play. It's actually ridiculous.
Great point by you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. That seems like a pretty obvious comment, but I'll take it. Here's the thing.
If your power play stinks and you kill penalties at a good rate, as long as you're not getting outscored, if you're 1 for 10 in a playoff series and you kill 9 of 10 the other way, then it doesn't matter. You've washed out the special teams. Maybe given the way things are, that's the best way to look at it. I think right now the Leafs have scored and given up the same number of power play goals.
And, how crazy
is maybe
that?
Maybe that's the way they have to look at it.
Yeah, almost exactly. If you can balance out the special teams, they feel good about themselves in 5-on-5. That's what the Kings did.
The Kings didn't have a power play to speak about, but when they won the cup, but they killed penalties like a fiend. Mm-hmm. Nobody scored power play goals against them, and so it just became a wash. And then they were the best team 5-on-5.
Yep, and that you're still going to play a lot of minutes 5-on-5, the majority of them. So that ultimately is going to be the breaking point. Well, you're going to have the call tonight. It's on TSN 4, Leafs Jets, and O's going to be on the panel. And Do you have any final words?
There's probably a 48% chance the race will get brought up during the game today.
I think that's a lock.
Ray, 100%. Let me ask you this before we let you go. Just quickly, what about either Al's brother's race or mine brought out, like made you think of athleticism? Like you said, that is dynamic.
When you finished and you were still upright.
But you didn't think Al's brother's start was really good?
I thought his start was explosive.
What was going to happen? I thought that was like a Monty Python skit, and Al's brother's arms were going to fly off.
Were they not motoring?
He was going to bleed out his shoulders like, the Dark Knight that he goes, cut off both your arms. And that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought they were just going to fly off.
Yeah.
I think that's a part of the issue. Like, knowing how to run properly is really
in a running race. Just think of what you said. In a running race, knowing how to run properly is important.
Yeah, Ray thought it was a Super Dave Osborne skit. That's what it was.
Oh, Super Dave was the best.
The best. The best. And those were shot all throughout Toronto, probably at that track, exactly. 35 years later.
Did you ever see the one where he got knocked off the CN Tower?
Oh, yeah. The best. The best. And his sidekick.
Mr. Fuji opens the door and knocks him.
Mr. Fuji was the best. He was so confused. Just Super Dave was an absolute giant. I love Super Dave. He's so good. Well, we'll leave it there. We look forward to seeing how you can kind of lead this into the broadcast tonight or make it somehow.
Oh, we'll get it in there. Oh, Al's brother, congratulations. You guys stunned the world today. That was outstanding.
There's the positive feedback we're looking for. Thanks, buddy. Have a good one tonight. We'll do it again Monday.
Talk to you Monday.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, with more positive feedback on the race seen and heard around the world. And Ray joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
It's the best because I'm seeing what's trending in Canada. Like, there's some serious stuff, like Dr. Tam spoke and all of that. And then below it, Al's brother. Like,
it's
literally.
Trending in Canada.
Trending in Canada.
We need that throughout the country right now. We need it throughout the city, the province, and the country, right? We need just a little bit of reprieve. And It's put me into shock because I'm having a tough day. I can barely speak English, and I think it's because I'm in shock with how you guys ran. Like, I'm legitimately
nobody expected that performance. What they saw.